Okay, so far everyone's doing well. No one is, that I can tell, is eating the Mentos. You're doing a fantastic job, nailing it. So now you have the Mentos. It is yours. I'm not going to ask for the Mentos back. That is your Mentos. But not yet can you have the full benefits of that Mentos, like putting it in your mouth and eating it. You do get to look forward to it, though. Now, last week, we saw in the present kingdom that Jesus came. He is the resurrected Lord, the King. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. And that leaves the question, if Jesus is Lord, if Jesus is the ruler with all of the power, all of the authority, if Jesus has defeated sin and death and Satan on the cross, why do we still see the effects of evil and sin in the world? Why does sin still daily tempt us? Why does evil seemingly flourish in our world? Why don't I feel the perfect rest that Jesus promised us? Well, that's what we're looking at today as we look at the proclaimed kingdom. And there are four words, and this is what the Mentos is going to help demonstrate. Now and not yet. Now and not yet. Now you have the Mentos, but not yet are you able to eat it. Recently, the company Apple has used this now and not yet technique with the iPhone 16. They released the new fandangled phone promoting all its features. And you get most of those features when you buy the phone. You have the phone, you can use those features. Except at the time, Apple also said there are a whole bunch of features that aren't going to work yet. Not yet will you have the ability to use the AI that Apple had promised. You had to wait. Well, the promises of God fulfilled in Jesus are kind of like this. Now we have the promises as we live with Jesus as Lord. And now we have the benefits of following him, but not yet do we see their total fulfillment. We're still waiting for more. So what are some of these promises that we experience now? Well, now you can place your faith in Jesus and receive the benefits of what Jesus has won for us on the cross. Now you can live with Jesus as your Lord. Now you can have your sin forgiven. Now you can have a right relationship with God. Now you can have the Holy Spirit. That's what we saw in our Joel reading. We see the fulfillment of Joel in the New Testament where Jesus sends the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit connects us to God, connects us to each other as a church, and starts transforming us to be like Jesus. To add to that, the Spirit gives us boldness to share the good news of Jesus. So now you can live out the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 says, now in Christ we have every spiritual blessing. And we get all this when we place our faith in Jesus. If your faith is in Jesus, this is what you have now, just like you're holding that Mentos. But also not yet. There are promises to come, which are guaranteed because of our faith in Christ. Not yet has Jesus returned. Not yet do we see the promises and fulfillment of perfect rest. Not yet do we see Jesus face to face. Not yet does the world recognize the victory that Jesus has won on the cross and that he is the resurrected Lord. Not yet are we gathered with all the saints around Jesus' throne, giving him the glory that is rightfully his. Not yet do we have our transformed, new and beautiful resurrection bodies. Not yet. Just like you're not allowed to eat the Mentos yet. The proclaimed kingdom, because we're going through God's big picture, and the proclaimed kingdom is the now and the not yet. You can have all the benefits of what Christ has won for us now, but not yet are they fully realized. We're still looking forward to when that happens. Now, why does God do this? Why does not Jesus exercise the fact that he is Lord and just come solve all the problems of the world right now? Why didn't he do it 2,000 years ago when he rose from the dead? Well, the answer, and we see this in James chapter 5, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. He's a God who doesn't want anyone to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God wants people to come to Jesus, to have their sins forgiven and be saved, to become a part of Jesus' kingdom, to know his love, his mercy and forgiveness and the rest that can be found in Jesus. So come, accept Jesus' invitation, place your faith in Jesus. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this leads us to our second point. So we've got Jesus' kingdom now and not yet. But the second point is that Jesus' kingdom is proclaimed. How are people added to Jesus' kingdom? Well, it's through the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is it gives us boldness to proclaim Christ and the now and not yet kingdom. See, on the day when the Holy Spirit came, on the day of Pentecost, God's people were empowered to share the good news of Jesus. The Apostle Peter gave the first Christian sermon, and he talked about how Jesus is the Lord and Messiah, fulfilling the promises of God. The Apostle Paul, he persecuted the church, but when he placed his faith in Jesus and was given the Spirit, what did he do? He proclaimed Jesus and his kingdom. We have the Holy Spirit of God, and we too are called to proclaim Jesus' kingdom. Now, when we think of evangelism or sharing the gospel, it's possible that maybe you feel a little bit burdened by that. Maybe you feel like it's a duty that you would prefer not to have. But let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and see what the Apostle Paul says. It says in verse 1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. The ministry is the ministry of the new covenant. It's the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says it is a mercy of God that he can share the good news that Jesus is Lord. See, God, in his wisdom, chose that the way that people would learn that Jesus is Lord is through his people proclaiming his good news. And God has given us his Spirit to enable us to do this. And so as we share the gospel, which we can summarize using John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We are sharing God's divine message to the world. And because God has given us this message and this ministry, we do not lose heart. Thomas Edison, he was the guy that created light globes. Do you know how many times he tried before he finally figured it out? Over 1,000 times. Now, that guy had grit. He didn't lose heart in his task. I'm sure there would have been times where he would have been discouraged, there would have been hurdles, there would have been times where he felt like he was getting close but then not quite nailing it, but he just kept going. How much more shall we not lose heart as we share God's message with the world? And so I want to encourage you to take seriously learning the two-minute gospel. Kids, ask your parents to help you learn it, maybe over dinner for a few nights. Even though it's only 2 minutes and it's the verse John chapter 3, 16, it does take a little bit of time to learn it. The most helpful thing you can do is actually practice explaining it to someone two or three times. And the benefit of doing this is that when you do that, you'll get the gist of it enough so that when you are talking to someone, you know the words to say. And I don't know, as we've been going through the 2-minute gospel, I don't know, maybe you've had the thought that, well, that the 2-minute gospel, it seems a little bit plain, a little bit simple. But actually the gospel is plain. The gospel is simple enough for kids to be able to understand. To some, it is foolish. To others, it's a stumbling block. To us who have faith in Jesus, it's the power of God for salvation. And so we don't want to change it. We don't want to trick people into believing it. And this is what we see in verse 2. Paul says, "We renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Instead, we want to set forth the word of truth plainly and commend ourselves before God and the people that we're sharing the gospel with." And we can share it. And do you know what happens when the gospel is shared plainly, accurately? People accept the invitation to come to Jesus Christ. But we also need to know that's not actually in our control. We can't control the response of other people. The response to the gospel is a work of God, not us. It's not because of our fine words or smooth presentations or fantastic illustrations that people will turn to Christ. People will turn because God's Spirit opens their hearts and minds to see that, yes, Jesus is Lord, that, yes, Jesus is the Saviour that they need. And we see this in verses 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." We are not in control as to whether someone says yes to becoming a Christian or not. But in verse 5, as we preach that Jesus is Lord, as we share that Jesus is Lord, God in verse 6, by his Spirit, shines his light into a person's heart so that we can see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. And actually, that means that as we go about sharing the gospel, we need to be people of prayer, asking God for opportunities for him to work in us and for him to work in the person that we share the gospel with. So in the present kingdom, in the now and the not yet, we have the now, the promises of God. We have the not yet promises of God, which we're looking forward to. And we proclaim Christ, inviting other people to come and join Jesus' kingdom. Because we know the reality. We know that Jesus is Lord, that he really is coming back. And we look forward to that day. Now, as we've gone through God's big picture, we've been thinking about work and rest. And so, well, let's think about work in the proclaimed kingdom. And let's think work, let's think school, let's think, you know, if you're at home most of the time, that is kind of your workplace. It's helpful to see work or school or wherever God has placed us as God's mission field, given to us so that we can make the most of every opportunity. How encouraging was it to hear of the Explore group that Matilda and Laura spoke about earlier? Doing something a little bit outside of the box, to be Jesus light in the school, to give Christian kids an opportunity to be able to say to their friends, "I'm a Christian, come and find out more." What opportunities do you have to proclaim Christ where you are? Now, I think it's helpful that we make a distinction between living as the light of Jesus and proclaiming the message of Jesus. We're called to live a godly life. And people will see as we live that godly life as Christians that we live differently. We have different priorities because we live with a different Lord than they do. We live with Jesus as Lord. But this in itself does not proclaim the good news of the gospel. What this does is it provides gospel opportunities as people become curious by the way that we live with Jesus as Lord. The gospel is the message of Jesus' death for us and our sin and his resurrection so that we can have eternal life and that he is now Lord of all. And we need to pray for boldness to share that message. Now, that's not necessarily easy, is it? I go mountain biking, and there are a couple of big drops. You can see the photos up here. I was really trying as I was taking the photos to get the sense of doom that you feel when you're at the top of the drop. It kind of just looks like, oh, yeah, I could do that. It's different when you're at the top. Now, there are some people in this room who would see that drop and they're like, they're going over it all the time. But me, that's not me. I get to the top of this drop and I think about it just before I get there. And I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I've looked at the drop enough that I'm like, yeah, it should be possible. All I need to do is that and then that and that, yep. And then I get to the top and I just lose all confidence and go, nah, I'm walking. I feel like sometimes when it comes to evangelism, it's a little bit like that. We might see the opportunity. We've learned the two-minute gospel and we say, yep, I've got the ability. I know how. And we think, yep, I know what to do. I've got the confidence. I can manage this. But then we get to that moment and we just pull out. We lose the confidence and we just take the easy path. But it is helpful at this point to remember that as we share the gospel, we're not mountain biking. It's okay if I don't go down that drop. But God, in his mercy, has given us his message that Jesus is Lord. We have the Holy Spirit working in us to share the gospel. And our work colleagues, our school friends, need to know that Jesus is Lord and receive the invitation to put their faith in him. And God provides us with opportunities. And one of the things that I've been really encouraged by this year is the number of kids who invite their friends to Kununurra Kids Club so that they can hear about Jesus. Even as I was taking those photos about the drop, the person I was riding with asked me what it was for, and I said my sermon. And she asked me what my sermon was about. And so I got to share with her, it's about what it means to live with Jesus as Lord while we wait for him to come back. The conversation quickly moved on at that point, but yeah, just a small opportunity. If we pray for opportunities, God will give them. And if we pray for opportunities, we should start looking for opportunities. On the way out to Equestro, I don't know if you've ever taken the opportunity to count how many flood signs there are or flood warning signs. We did this as a family activity one day on the way out there, and it was 26 or 27 or something like that. You don't realize how many there are until you're looking for them, counting them. And it's the same when it comes to opportunities for sharing the gospel. If we start looking for them, we'll start seeing them. What opportunities do you have in your workplace? Are there some opportunities that you're missing? Or maybe one of the other things that you could think about doing is, are there a few Christians in your workplace or in your field that you can gather together with and pray for the other people that you work with and pray for opportunities to share the gospel? Now, what about rest? Well, in the proclaimed kingdom, we can now enjoy the rest that we have in Jesus. Jesus' invitation to come and rest in him is a promise for now. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We can find rest in Jesus now. We can be relieved of our guilt and sin and worry now as we live trusting that Jesus is Lord. We can rest in God's grace and mercy as we navigate this sinful world, knowing that through faith in Jesus, we now have the promises of God and he's equipped us with his Spirit. But we also, even as we rest in Jesus now, we look forward to the rest to come. Not yet are we in the perfect rest of the new creation, the new Eden. We're still looking forward to when we will rest with Jesus for all eternity. And we're going to talk more about that next week And so if I was really mean, I'd say hold on to that Mentos until next week. I'm not going to do that though. You can chat with your parents, and if they're fine with it, you can have it after the service. But Jesus is Lord. We can serve him now. We have the promises of God now, but also not yet. And meanwhile, we proclaim the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so good to us, that you are full of mercy and compassion. And we see your mercy and compassion in sending Jesus into the world to save us. And we also see your mercy and compassion in giving your people the message to invite the world, the nations, to come and place their faith in Jesus. Please, Lord, by your Spirit, equip us, give us boldness, that we might share your gospel. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.